Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Glad to have you here this morning. Miss Althea has reminded me to remind you that the lunch during the missions revival next Sunday morning will be soup and sandwiches. So please bring soup and sandwiches. And dessert. We gotta have dessert. The way it'll work is we will have the regular Sunday school with missionary speaking, and then we will have the service in here, and we'll have several different missionaries and our main speaker. And around 12 o'clock, we're going to go over to the fellowship hall and have our soup, sandwiches, and dessert. And then we will just have the afternoon service over there. So we're not going to have to move again. We'll hear from missionaries over there, watch some presentations, and we'll have a good time. So I hope you'll join us for the beginning of our missions revival next Sunday, and then carrying on into Monday and Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. So this Sunday, as we continue our missions emphasis, the title of the message is Give a Little, Get a Little, from 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 7. Give a little, get a little. 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 7. And we'll read a verse and then we'll begin. The Bible says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll talk about give a little, get a little, from 2 Corinthians 9. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray that now that you forgive me for my sins, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help me to preach your word. I pray that you would just help us to get what we need out of the Bible this morning. And I do pray that you would bless us and help us to receive what you have for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, going back to verse 1, the Bible says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints." So this is continuing to talk about what was being discussed in chapter 8, which is this faith promise offering that was being taken up to be taken to the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem was going through some persecution. They had a lot of poverty. Things were not going well at that church, and so Paul was coordinating this missions offering to be taken to help that church. And so this is what it's talking about when it says the ministering to the saints. And Paul said, "It is superfluous for me to write to you." So Paul is simply saying there, "I've already talked to you about this. It's excessive for me to continue to write to you. It's really not even necessary, but he's going to go ahead and do it. And he's going to talk more about this. And he's going to say some very good things that we want to get and that God wants us to have." So when we come down to verse 2, "For I know the forwardness of your mind." I know the eagerness of your mind. I know that you are ready to give in this offering. The fact is, they had already committed to give in this offering. They were the first church to commit. And so a year before this, they had committed to give. And Paul had taken their promises, because they made a faith promise, and he had taken that and used that when he traveled to other churches and said, "Look, the Corinthians are already ready to give. They've already made a commitment." But it had been a year and they had not followed through with their commitment. So Paul is urging them to follow through with it. "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." Now the interesting thing is, in chapter 8, Paul had used the Macedonians in order to try to provoke the Corinthians to follow through with their giving. In chapter 9, he uses the Corinthians and says, I used you to provoke the Macedonians to give. So he's using one to provoke the other to give. And he's using both of them. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast to you of them of Macedonia, that Achaia, and that is where Corinth was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Now, if we look at a map here, we can see that Macedonia is kind of up here. And then if we were to go down below that, we would see Achaia and we would see Corinth right there. And so Paul, they were kind of neighbors. And so Paul used the one to provoke the other. And verse 3, yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. So Paul said, I sent the brethren. He said, I don't want to boast and say, look, Corinth's gonna give. Corinth has said they're gonna give to this missions offering, and then that be in vain when you don't give. So he says, I've sent the brethren kind of to provoke you to give, to follow through with your commitments, that as I said, you may be ready. Paul wanted them to be ready, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. So in other words, what Paul is saying is, if I bring some guys from Macedonia, from the churches of Macedonia with me, and I've been bragging on Corinth and saying, boy, Corinth is going to give this big offering to Jerusalem. They're going to give this big faith promise offering. So I bring the guys from Macedonia and we get there. He says, you won't be embarrassed, not ye, but we. We will be embarrassed if you don't give. If we get there and I've been bragging on you and then you don't give, then we are going to be embarrassed. So Paul says, I want you ready to follow through on your commitments. Verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. So Paul sent the brethren ahead of him, and he wanted them to talk to them about this offering. Now he was sending Titus, and he was sending a couple of others to go that we studied last week. And he said, whereof ye had noticed before, that this same might be ready. Now if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, Paul had written to them before, and he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, a lot of times we use this to talk about tithes to support the church. But in fact, notice what it says, now concerning the collection not from the saints, but the collection for the saints. This is talking about a faith promise offering that was taken up for the saints in Jerusalem, not the support of the Corinthian church. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered. So on Sunday, the first day of the week, they were to lay aside, according as God had prospered them, their faith promise offering. This isn't talking about a tithe. It's talking about their faith promise offering. They were to lay it aside. And then when Paul came, they wouldn't have a collection. When he came, the money would already be collected, that there be no gatherings when I come. So Paul had already told them about this. And so he says, therefore, I thought it necessary, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you to make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Paul wanted this to be a matter of grace and not a matter of holding back Gill says this of this. He says, not as of covetousness, that is, that the collection being ready-made largely and liberally, it might appear to be a free, generous action and show what a noble, bountiful disposition they were of, and not performed as covetous men usually do when they do, sparingly, tenaciously, keeping their money as long as they can, being loath to part with it. So Paul said, I don't want this to be covetousness. I want you to generously give to this faith promise offering. Therefore, I want you to have it ready ahead of time. You know, it's easier to plan for things than it is to do it at the last minute. And so Paul didn't want it to be a last minute thing, because if it was a last minute thing, then things might have come up. Their chariot might have broken down. They might have totaled their chariot with a deer and had to get a new chariot. So he didn't want things like that. He wanted a situation where they had planned for it and where they had it, and it wasn't a matter of covetousness, but it was a matter of grace. Now the Bible talks about this principle of grace giving. Let me go back to verse 6 first before I read that. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So give a little, get a little. Give a lot, get a lot. That's what the Bible says. This I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Well, if you've ever planted a garden, then you know this to be true, because if you go out and plant just a few seeds, then you get just a few plants. And if you plant a lot of seeds, then you get a lot of plants. The Bible gives this principle, even in the Old Testament. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. So there are people, it's always necessary to withhold some. You've got to have savings. You've got to. You need an emergency fund, and you need all of that in place, and that's good financial responsibility. But there is a such thing as withholding more than is necessary. There was a church in South Georgia. I don't know the name of it. I was just told this story by a man that had been there. But he went there and spoke, and they told him that they had about $500,000 in their bank account, and they had no debt. The church was paid for. They had no debt. And he said, well, why don't we give some of that to missions? And they said, no, we might have an emergency come up. So there is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. It's amazing that covetous people are often poor. Now, I don't believe in the stuff you see on TV, the health and wealth stuff. So I don't believe that if you are needing money and you don't have $500 to your name, that you should write a $500 check and send it to some guy on TV, and all of a sudden your bank account's going to grow. That's crazy. And the Bible doesn't teach that. But the Bible does teach as a general principle, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The Bible also says in Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And so, if you're liberal in giving, then you'll be made fat, and that's not talking about putting on weight. That is talking about being taken care of. God will take care of you. Now, God can bless us in different ways from giving. He can bless us financially. He can also bless us spiritually. And in Luke 6:38, the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So Jesus says, give and it shall be given unto you. But it won't just be given unto you, but he says it will be given with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So he's going to cram it in there. And so Matthew Henry said, it is possible a man may grow rich by prudently spending what he has, may scatter in works of piety, charity, and generosity, and yet may increase, nay, by that means may increase as the corn is increased by being sown. And so, with a missions offering, if we sow little into God's work, we will reap little from God's work. And if we sow a lot, we'll reap a lot. Some people put very little into the church and get very little out of it. And some invest little or nothing in missions and they get little or nothing from it. And if you want to know why you don't get anything from missions, it's probably because you're not putting anything into it. And so let's put something into it and we'll get something out of it. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, does that mean that God's going to pay off all your bills and make you rich? No, that's not what that's saying. But what it is saying is that you'll prosper. You'll prosper. And, you know, I've heard the illustration before. Good measure pressed down and running over. Jesus says that if you give, that he's going to give you enough for you and running over. So that means there's enough for others as well. And that's a good thing. You know, God will give a lot more to pass through you than he will give to you. It's kind of like a stagnant lake. If there's a lake that's kind of stagnant, a stagnant pond, and, you know, it just keeps collecting rainwater and it doesn't go anywhere, it just gets nasty. Attracts mosquitoes, you know, just, it's got moss growing on it. It's just nasty. But if you have a lake that's hooked up to a stream and you have a situation where the water's constantly flowing and moving, then you've got a beautiful lake that you can do some good fishing in generally. And so the thing is that God doesn't just want to give to us, but he wants to give through us. Now, I can tell you as a matter of testimony that God has always taken care of me. He's always taken care of me when I've given. Now, he hasn't always made me rich. In fact, I was tithing and giving to missions up until the point in time when the recession hit and I lost everything. So you can go broke and still be doing what you're supposed to do. So it's not, I used to think when I was younger, I used to think it was an automatic thing that if you do what you're supposed to do with giving and everything, that you'll never go broke. And that's just simply not true. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that, but it does teach as a general principle that God will take care of you. And even though I lost almost everything during the recession, God took care of my family. He gave me a job. When I lost my job, he gave me another job. He took care of us. Our income fell. I was making in a month what I had been making every week when I got my new job. Making in a month what I had been making in a week, every week. That's how far I went down. And yet God took care of us. We never went hungry. We were always able to make our house payment. We were always able to put gas in our car. We couldn't go as many places, but we were able to do that. And God has gradually restored and made it so that we're able to give and we're able to do again. And that's a good thing. So God will take care of you. God will take care of you. But if you just sit and you're covetous and you keep it all to yourself, the Bible says there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. And you would think the opposite of that. You would think, well, if I keep more, then that's going to tend to making me wealthy. But the Bible says it tends to poverty. So, let's put a lot into missions. Let's give ourselves, as the Corinthians or as the Macedonians did, and then let's give our finances too. Verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, this is a faith promise offering. Every man as he purposes in his heart. This is not talking about tithing. A tithe is 10%. This is every man as he purposes in his heart. This means it doesn't have to be a percentage. It can just be whatever you want to give. Maybe you purpose in your heart that you'll give $10 a month to missions. That's fine. It's whatever you purpose in your heart. Maybe it's five a month. Maybe it's 25. Maybe it's 50. Maybe it's 100. It's whatever you purpose in your heart. And God says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. God doesn't want you to begrudge giving your offering. In fact, I would say this, if you don't like giving your offering, don't give it. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Now, God will take money from somebody that's a grouch, okay? But God doesn't want you to be grouchy. God wants you to enjoy giving. And so, you know, if you're sitting there every week, I've made the mistake in the past of not really praying about what I was going to give and not budgeting it and just putting down a number. And then it was really hard to give it. And so I begrudged giving it. And so don't do that. Pray about it. See what God wants you to give and budget it and see if you can give it. And God will take care of you. He'll make sure you can give it. But we don't want you to be unhappy. God doesn't want you to be miserable. He wants you to be cheerful when you're giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. This is not something some preachers still do preach this way, but they used to preach, if you don't give, God's going to, and they would say, it's like God's the mafia. They would say, like, he's going to come and break your car down, and he's going to make you sick, and he's going to take all this stuff from you. But that's not what the Bible's teaching here. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I'm going to read to you a quote here, not grudgingly or of necessity. This is from Adam Clark. The Jews had in the temple two chests for alms. The one was of what was necessary, in example, what the law required, and the other was of the free will offerings. To escape perdition, some would grudgingly give what necessity obliged them. Others would give cheerfully for the love of God and through pity to the poor. Of the first, nothing is said. They simply did what the law required. Of the second, much is said. God loves them. The benefit of almsgiving is lost to the giver when he does it with a grumbling heart. The benefit of almsgiving is lost to the giver when he does it with a grumbling heart. So every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So in summary, number one, don't give to missions because you feel like you have to. Give because you want to. Don't give because you feel like you have to. Give because you want to. Number two, give what you purpose in your heart to give, not what you feel guilted into. I've been to missions conferences where every single year they have the same group of people and every year they tell everybody to give more. Well, the problem with that is not everybody can give more every year. There's some people that can't give more. You lose your job, something happens, you don't get a pay increase, you can't give more. And so give what you purpose in your heart to give, not what you feel guilted into. And number three, give a little and get a little back. Give a lot and get a lot. So that's the principle. Now, you may not get financial blessings. You may get spiritual blessings. But the point is, give a little, get a little back, give a lot, get a lot. So let's consider this and consider what chapter 9 is teaching, the first part here of chapter 9, as we go into this missions conference next week, as we have this missionary tonight. It's kind of interesting because we're preaching on the thing that people always accuse Baptist preachers of preaching on, which is money. They say Baptist preachers always preach on money and hell. And so, but the thing is, this is expository preaching. This is right through 2 Corinthians, and this is what the Bible is talking about here. And it's not talking about money for the church or for the preacher. It's talking about money for missions, for faith promise offering. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray about what God would have us do. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the work that you're doing in this place. And I do pray that you would bless us and help us. And I do pray that you would just help us to understand the grace of this offering and the purpose of it. Because the purpose is not just to give. The purpose is to see souls saved. And to see the gospel spread around the world. And I do pray that you would give us a burden to see the gospel taken both in the United States and around the world. And give us this grace of faith promise giving. We ask it in Jesus' name. We also pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, that you would convict them and save their souls today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.